This is the Jaguars Scoreboard Show. Breaking down today's Jaguars game, it's WOKB's Jay Gray, former Jaguar Marco Coleman, and you. The Jaguars Scoreboard Show is brought to you by Rouse Chiropractic Clinic, Ticket Exchange, Eiselborn Chiropractic and Sports Medicine, and by Everbank. The Jaguars Scoreboard Show begins right now.
That's right, I am Jay Gray, joined here by Marco Coleman, and what do you say after that? 45-17 loss for the Jaguars. Want to hear from you tonight, 355-NFL-1, that's 355-6351, or if you don't feel like paying for the call, 1-800-355-NFL-1, because I'm really curious to see what the fans are thinking right now, whether they're angry. I mean, after you have a blowout loss, you figure fans are either going to be really angry, really disappointed, but I have a feeling a lot of the fans are they were expecting this. So it's almost like they're apathetic towards a big loss. When you saw the Seattle Seahawks coming in, looked like a great team on paper, looked like a great team on Sunday night, showed it again tonight, and the Jaguars just don't have the players to compete.
Yeah, you know, you figure the reality of it is the Jaguars roster is just not where the Seahawks, you know, where it is right now. And it's still this year is all about evaluation. Who's going to be the core guys to take this team on into the future and getting these young guys experience, and hopefully they can mature as the season goes on, you know, to get that winning feeling. I think it's going to be important at some point in time in this season to get those young guys a feeling of accomplishment by getting a victory.
You know, it's going to be curious when that first victory comes. You know, you saw Indy in the beginning of the year, didn't look so hot, but when they go in and just trounce San Francisco at their home stadium, you know that they're coming in here and they're going to be looking to win again. Just like Seattle destroyed the 49ers. We saw what happened when the Jaguars played Seattle. Now we're wondering if the same thing's going to happen next week. And, you know, division rival, you always seem to play the Colts tough, though, yeah, which is good news for the Jags. But, again, you just look down the schedule, and you could see a long ways away. You know, I was thinking maybe Cleveland, that should definitely be a win, especially after they traded Richardson. But the way Cleveland played today, they look real good.
It's going to be tough. You know, it's going to the bye week. You figure they got Indianapolis, and then right after that, they got to go to Kansas City, a young team, matter of fact. It's going to be a good game to watch, actually, because you got St. Louis is probably the youngest team in the league. The Jags, the third youngest team. So a lot of youth out there. Well, you know, they got a coach that's been at it for a while in Fisher. That's going to be challenging. You know, they got to go to Denver, going to Mile High right now. That fine old machine.
Even uglier than this.
And
one,
then
the
that trip out,
playing.
Yeah. Then that trip out to London. I mean, that's the schedule going up into the bye week. It's going to be tough sledding, that's for sure.
Yeah, 355-NFL-1, that's 355-6351. Let's take our first call of the night, get it started early. And Arturo, how you doing tonight, man?
Arturo. Hello?
Hey, Arturo.
Hey, how you doing, man?
Good. How about yourself?
Hey, just turn your radio down, man.
No, I'm not a speaker, man. She told me, you know, something with my phone, but I mean, I'm not a speaker.
You got the big time echo.
All right, yeah.
If I want to hear myself, I just talk to you, Arturo.
Okay. So I can talk or not?
Yeah, you can talk, man. Go ahead, spit.
Okay. The main problem we're having, I mean, we have a good fan in Jacksonville. I mean, I think, you know, we're the underdogs all the time, and we don't have a problem with that. And I believe, you know, they're doing a great job. The problem is the coach chooses the players, and some of the players, I don't think they do the effort they need to do, you know, to play in this league. I mean, they're professional football players, and, like, you know, they get paid a lot of money, and that's the only thing we want, you know, the best effort they can do and try to do the best, because, I mean, like the quarterback, you know, throwing the passes he's throwing sometimes, and, you know, they've been playing for a long, long time, and I just can't believe that they can complete a pass or they throw it the way they're doing it, like, right now, you know.
Yeah, you know, I think the effort is there. It's just the talent isn't.
Talent
and
it's
hard to say, but it's true. I mean, when you look at Seattle's roster top to bottom versus the Jags roster top to bottom, and I mean, they were down in the secondary. They had a bunch of rookies playing, but you're seeing rookies that were seventh-round picks playing. You know they're not supposed to be coming in their first year. Those are project guys that you want to see how they can develop. They shouldn't be playing right now, and they're forced to, and it showed. I mean, you got Russell Wilson, who's a young guy, a special guy. He can come in and play right away, but he's smart enough to know when you got a rookie, especially a seventh-round pick rookie, you just start targeting them, and that's what they were doing.
beast like Golden Tate. Yes, sir. You got to do it. Now, I agree. It's definitely more of a talent thing than it is an effort thing. Especially the way the defense at the end, coming up with the big plays. They kept on fighting, getting that touchdown, you know, at least getting that ball, that turnover to get the offensive score. They're just at a higher level as it pertains to the roster and that talent level out there in Seattle. They're not just against the Jaguars, but a lot of the football teams in the league right now.
One rookie that is stepping up, though, Cyprian. He's coming along nice. 2 forced fumbles in 2 games. He's been playing pretty well.
Yeah. I mean, he's just got to learn how to cover. He's terrible in coverage.
I mean, you just got to send him in on a blitz every time, man. I mean, he's getting the quarterback. He's causing fumbles. Why not? Every play. Just
as long as he makes some plays. And like I said, and that's just the maturation. The more he sees what's going on, he's going to be a better player as this season goes on in that coverage aspect of it. As he continues to work, he's making plays, like you said, and you got to feel good about that because he's around that
especially
ball.
Especially after the way he played in the preseason, and he did not look good at all.
It was the darn coverage. He still don't look good in coverage.
I mean, today looked like kind of a preseason game, and you know, you got the starters in there for 3 quarters for Seattle, and then they get pulled, and then the Jaguars start moving the ball a little bit, start scoring some points. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Want to hear what you have to say. Let's go to Travis on the south side. Travis, how you doing, man?
Hey, I'm doing great. I told my wife, we were eating dinner watching the game, and I said, she goes, why are they so bad? I said that they dispersed some of the talent and to build it up and to get it going, and that's the way it's going to be. We're going to have to deal with that. And I'll tie it into Marco. Marco wasn't the best player. That boy can break dance, man. I'll tell you what, I need to get out there, man. I'm back, buddy. Yeah. I love the Jaguars. They're going to do it.
Well, how is my breakdance going to help him out?
A little backhanded comment there. They'd be like, I love you, Marco. You weren't the greatest player, man, but you can dance.
I held my own, man. Let me tell you. I was on some good teams.
Hey, thanks for the call, Travis. You know, speaking of talent, got to ask the question. Maurice Jones-Drew has been pretty banged up for a little while. He went out there, and you got to appreciate the effort to go out there and tough it out in the injury. But with him being in there, is he helping the team, or is he doing more harm being in there? Because we saw some plays, and, you know, you kept hearing Brian say it over and over again. That's not the Maurice Jones-Drew we know. You know, if he was 100% healthy, he could break that tackle. Is he actually hurting the team by going out there at maybe 75% and only getting a yard gain, where maybe somebody like a Todman could come in and get 3 or 4 yards on the same carry?
I don't think so, because he's a leader. He is still a leader of that offense. And by those young guys seeing, here it is, the veteran guy, a little banged up, but he's still going to come out here and give his best effort. You know, that's what it's going to take. In the NFL, it's a long season. It's really tough to get through a season without being, you know, banged up and still having to play. So by Maurice coming out, showing these young guys what the heart of a warrior, a real champion is, and coming out and still going hard, that says a lot. And that you need to get that effort. How these young guys recognize that. That was a heck of a run by him. It was only a 2-yard run for the touchdown, but that was the Maurice one. He had a couple of flashes. And I think as the season goes on, him too will begin to get a little bit stronger.
Yeah, but he bring up a good point too. I mean, you know, not necessarily that he's hurting the team being in there, but is he hurting himself? Is he hurting the team for the long run, saying, you know what, I'm not 100%. I'm not making the cuts that I can normally make. I'm not as fast as I could normally make. Why don't I sit down this one, let this season go on, help myself to stay healthy for the rest of the year instead of trying to push it every week and have these nagging injuries coming back and forth every week?
Well, he's not going to practice again next week. You know that, right?
Yeah,
on the way back, you know,
I don't think he's going to practice for the rest of the year.
For the next 3-4 weeks, especially into the bye week, he probably won't do anything. I was just going to be a Friday, see if I can burst, boop, 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 and then he's out there. So I think with that type of schedule, we'll allow him some time to gradually get better. As long as he doesn't have a game where he re-injures the injuries that he, you know, makes it worse, basically, which, you know, it's possible to get through a game and not, you know, make things worse than what you already have, especially if you've gotten that time to heal, which I'm sure they're going to give him plenty of time during the week.
Oh, yeah. I mean, when you're the best talent on offense, you need to give that guy, if he wants to rest for an entire week,
let
him rest.
Here's your Mai Tai with the umbrella, go over there and sit on the bike and chill out, Maurice.
But then you got to come in and back it up on the field saying, thanks for that week off. Now I'm going to give you 100 yards. Here you go.
Yeah.
355-NFL-1, the 355-6351. Going to Jonathan in Tallahassee. Jonathan, how you doing, man?
How are you guys tonight?
Good, Jonathan.
Hey, good as it could be expected after that loss.
I didn't really expect a win tonight, but I did see some improvement out there, especially from, I saw some more touchdowns, and Henny did show some improvement. I think he's getting a lot better each time he steps out there. But I still don't think he's the long-term answer, and I don't think Gabbert is either. But I think I would keep Henny, and then maybe after this year, get rid of Gabbert and try and get Teddy Bridgewater.
Yeah, that's not a bad plan. I mean, keeping the veteran around to show him how to do things, how to watch film. You know, that's not a bad idea.
With Henny?
I mean, come on. who can teach a guy better, Henny or
neither
Gabbert?
Neither one of these
point?
Guys on this roster, because they neither one is getting anything done. I just don't think these are the two guys that would, you know, be used to bring a rookie along.
What, you go out in free agency, just sign a veteran, a journeyman, bring back Mark Brunell, something?
You just got to just rely on the coaching staff. That's what they're getting paid to do, you know. And you figure with all this youth, with this being a youth movement, there's not going to be many veterans that can lead these guys and show them. Look in that secondary. There's absolutely no one in the secondary. Well, Larry, he's hurt, but still, I mean, even with him, he's a veteran, but he still doesn't have any major experience on getting to the big game, playing in the playoffs. I mean, it's not many guys that are here that are left that have playoff experience when you look at this roster. And ultimately, that's what the football team is put together to do, is not just play during the season, but get a chance to go to the championship.
You know, and that's the thing. It used to be back in the day that you had to sit a first-year guy, especially at a quarterback. Let him learn the position, bring him in a year or two, and it was so much more success when you do that. Nowadays, with the talents that are coming in, you're seeing rookies come in making a huge impact year one. Right away, they can start and play. So maybe you don't even need a guy to teach them how to run. Maybe you can bring in a guy, even like a Byron Leftwich, maybe. Somebody that's just there just in case, who's been around the league, that can, you know, tell some of these guys some of those insights, not necessarily about on the field, but, you know, how to rest your body during the week. You know, something that a good NFL journeyman that's been on a bunch of teams, that's been in the league for a long time, you know, some of those secrets, help those guys out that way.
But the thing you have to look at with these younger teams, they have head coaches that also have...
But they got a rookie head coach.
That's what I'm saying with the Jags, they do. But as far as, like, for instance, Pete Carroll has time in this league. He with the San Diego with the New England Patriots, longtime head coach in a big-time program like USC. You look at Fisher over there. He had, you know, the Rams, the youngest team in the league, and he's, you know, a wily veteran at the coaching position. So the younger teams actually have head coaches, even Kansas City. You got Andy Reid. That's another young team. I guess that is may be the disadvantage for the Jags right now, that the head coach is also maturing in his role, just like the rest of the team.
355-NFL-1. That's 355-6351. Taking your calls. Want to hear what you thought about the Jags' bad loss tonight, 45-17. We knew it was going to be bad. I think they actually scored more points than a lot of people thought they were going to, so that at least is a good sign. Fans, nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate today. Coming right back here on the Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back to the Scoreboard Show. It's brought to you by Presentation Resource Incorporated. I'm Jay Gray, joined here with Marco Coleman after that hard-to-watch 45-17 loss by the Jags. I mean, if you're a fan of offense and just watching Russell Wilson, that he makes everything look effortless. I mean, it doesn't matter who, if the Jags were playing him or not. The way he throws the ball, he's for real. He's the real deal.
Yeah, you know, the Seahawks, they're in the upper echelon of this league, probably one of the five best teams in the entire league. You know, and the Jaguars, you know, are just a ways away from having the type of talent to be able to compete in that area. But again, like I mentioned a little earlier, the future, as these guys get more and more reps, I think you get people healthy, you'll see a little bit better product out there on that field.
Yep, 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Let's go to Charlie, who's on the road. Charlie, how you doing, man?
Hey, guys, let me make a real quick comment, then I'll let y'all chime in. I guess I'll hang up. Jay, you made a comment just a second ago with the last caller about, you know, the younger players and the quarterbacks used to sit in and a year before they ever got in. And I think I'm not making excuses for the Jaguars or anybody, but I think the NFL as a whole has really dropped the ball, because you don't have a team anymore. All you got is a bunch of individuals that want to get out there and make money. Next year, guess what? You're going to have a whole bunch of new guys again. You're not going to have the same guys. 20 years ago, 25 years ago, when you had a team together, that whole team stayed together year after year after year.
Yeah, but
Mike Ditka stayed as the Chicago's coach. Now you got free agency. You got all this money flying around. you got the cap. If somebody does good this year, guess what? They're going to want money next year, and guess what? They can't keep them.
Exactly.
So you don't have the same team year after year. But thank you, and y'all go ahead and comment on that for me.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's the whole big issue. You had teams stay together because you didn't have free agency, and now that's an open market. You know, you play and perform well, you get paid more, and I think the NFL realized that they were having issues with that, which is why they have the rookie salary cap now, because you're paying guys $60, $70 million in your first contract, not knowing if they can play.
Yeah, I agree. And it's moving towards, I think, a lot of the teams in the league right now just have transitioning to more younger rosters. And as they develop and they have these core guys, you'll see players start to stay around, you know, 4, 5, 6 years, you know, on average, I think more so than what you have seen probably in the recent past. Because I think it's been a transition to teams getting their salary caps adjusted to where the league is new with the new collective bargaining agreement and the different changes that have been made. Not only that, you also have it's more of the change in the amount of time they have to prepare. A lot of limited practices, a lot of limited padded practices. So if you do have a young team, you're missing out a lot of time of those guys being able to get better. Of course, they talk about for the injuries and things of that nature, but the trade-off is the preparation. These guys, you know, the limited amount of times during the week that they can actually be on the field. So all the limited work and young guys, that's not a good mix when you're talking about maturation of a football team.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, I think with, you know, social media now and all these different sports networks that are 24/7 that need to find stories on weeks that there might not be football, they're bringing to light the fact that there's a lot of players out there in the past that have wasted all their money in the first 3 years, only played for a couple years, and now they're broke. They left college early, they don't have an education,
right.
They don't know what they're doing, and they're working a regular job. And I think a lot of those guys see these stories, you know, see these ESPN 30 for 30s and all these things, and they say, all right, I got to get mine, and I got to get it now, because just like that, one hit, my career could be over. If I don't get it, what am I going to do then?
Well, ultimately, it is professional sports. So, you know, the guys are out there to get as much as they can while they can, while the teams and in the same token, they're trying to get guys for at least as they can, for the least amount as possible. So it's professional sports. There is that level of the business aspect that sometimes, you know, your passion about football and the Friday night lights and those Saturday afternoon college football games, that's where you see a little bit of a difference in the ties. You got to be more so in tune to that team. You know, if you have your favorite player, just realize that you may be changing the jersey next year.
355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Let's go to Kevin in Savannah. How you doing, Kevin?
I'm doing fine, thank you. How about those Yellow Jackets here, Marco?
Hey, let's go Jackets. That was a beautiful thing of beauty, wasn't it?
Yeah, I hope you're there Thursday night for the 100-year anniversary of Bobby Dodd.
I'm there all day it's a White House. You know, you got to come with your white shirt on, right?
I'll look for you when I'm there, bud.
Yes,
I can't wait.
All right.
What I wanted to say, I was a little disappointed in Gus. I mean, you got a bunch of young players on the team, and to me, even Brad Meester is a young fella. And, you know, they're out there playing their hearts out, and I don't know what the time was on the clock, but at the 9-minute mark, we scored. And, I mean, it was obvious that we weren't going to win unless we got the ball back. And, you know, I was hoping for an onside kick. I mean, I just think it sends a bad message to the players that, you know, I've conceded the game at 9 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. Why not do an onside kick? Give them a fighting chance. I mean, you never know what's going to happen. Those guys, of course, they're pros and they're fighting for their jobs and their production. But, I mean, they want to win. I mean, and the only way you're going to win at that point is an onside kick. And I was just disappointed in Gus at that point.
Yeah, you know, you make a great point. But one thing you left out, even if you knew you weren't going to win the game, why not try it? Because those are practice reps in real-life situations for when you may need it later down the road, when it is just a 3-point game or a 7-point game, and that's really crucial, and you've never tried it before in a real game situation. Yeah, why not just do it just even for the practice?
You know, like I said, we talk about, even for Gus, there's going to be some growing pains. He's still getting used to being a head coach. He hasn't been a head coach in his league, and you know, some of those decisions haven't been on his shoulder. So now, you know, each and every game is just a building block for this team and this organization to become the team that they envision for it to be with Caldwell and with the new head coach with Bradley. So these are all tough, hard learning experience.
I mean, just throwing this out there, I'm not saying this is actually what Gus was thinking, but just as, you know, a thought popped into my head, what if he's sitting there saying, you know what, chances are we're probably not going to win this game. If we kick it, we give them great field position. We're not stopping them. They're going to score. That means the game's going to take longer. We've been out on the West Coast for 10 days, haven't seen our families. We got a six-hour flight home. Let's just try to get out of here. I'm going to do this for my players to get them home to their families quicker since they haven't seen them and we're already getting blown out. I mean, you never know.
But it's only 60 minutes in the game, so the amount of time in the game, it's not going to change.
Yeah, but I mean, you got to figure if they're scoring again, then you got another TV timeout. You got to wait and kick the extra point with no time running. You got the celebration stuff going on. You got at all.
Well, you figure Carroll was trying to help him out by brother-in-lawing and taking all his guys out.
And then Javaris Jackson trying to get a starting job somewhere goes and throws it deep. I mean, come on, dude.
But he was trying. I have to say, Carroll showed some love to Bradley and said, "You my boy. I'm gonna call the dogs off, man. I'm not just gonna just put up 1,000 yards on your defense." You know,
Javaris Jackson did not care. He's like, "I gotta show teams I can still play. Here's a bomb for a touchdown."
He got it. He got to give. I know he gave Carroll a big hug. Thanks for not just rubbing my face in the dirt. I appreciate that, big guy.
355-NFL-1-355-6351. Let's go to Dave in Savannah. Dave, how you doing, man?
Pretty good. How y'all doing?
Dane. All right. Sorry, Dane.
Good. Well, obviously, 45-17 is never a whole lot of fun to watch. But despite that, I did see some improvement, especially on the defense side of the ball, which you know, despite the score, gives a glimmer of hope for the future. You know, you got guys like Will Blackman and Cyprian stepping up. So, you know, that was encouraging. And even the offensive. Whoop.
You're still there.
We'll listen to you.
Oh, okay. Sorry. You know, even the offensive line, that I felt like the pass blocking was improved a little bit. But my question is, do y'all think this kind of effort, even in a loss, is something the team can build on moving forward?
Oh yeah, it's got to be. I mean, you got to figure when guys keep fighting, and you know, the guys were saying it on the end of the broadcast. You know, when you keep fighting, when you've been out on the road for 10 days, when you're getting beat pretty bad, and you're still going out there giving effort. I mean, you got to give it to Puz, man. I mean, he played hard. It was like you could tell that there was a certain point of this game where he's just like, I am just sick of this, and he went after the quarterback. He's making interceptions. He's making tackles for losses, and he went off. You gotta appreciate that, and I think a lot of the young guys are gonna see that.
Mm-hmm.
And like we said, it's a very young team. Once they start seeing the effort and it's like, hey, we play hard no matter what here, you know, maybe you start attracting some of those work ethic free agent type guys, mm-hmm. and it becomes a team environment, us against the world mentality.
Yeah, as this team grows, each and every rep is extremely important, whether good or bad. They're all going to be a learning experience as they continue to mature as an entire group. So, you know, each and every game is definitely, regardless of win or loss, where the team is right now, they're all extremely important.
355-NFL-1, that's 355-6351. Let's go to Fred in Arlington. Fred, how you doing, man?
Hi, thank you for having me on this evening.
Mm-hmm.
I watched the game tonight. I was proud. They showed a lot of heart. Our team showed a lot of heart. But I'm going to say something you don't want to hear. We need to look. I'm not a University of Florida fan, but I think we do need to look at the Tebow option. He is a leader. He has won games in the NFL. And I'll just go offline now, and I'll just let you answer on that, okay?
I said I wasn't going to say anything else about that.
I always appreciate everybody's opinion, but I don't understand how you can call somebody a leader when he divides so many locker rooms. I mean, you know, whether it's the media doing it or – you know, whether people are just annoyed that he's getting so much hype and hasn't really done anything yet. He divides locker rooms. I think that's part of the reason he doesn't stick around these places too long.
Man, I have absolutely nothing to say about Tebow. Zero.
Yeah, and on that note, I think we should take another break. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Give us a call. Want to hear your thoughts on the game. Maybe your thoughts on Tebow.
Oh, baby.
Coming right back on the Scoreboard Show here on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show continues right now.
Jags fans, score some great deals. See your Southern Ford dealer today, proud partner of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Ford, go further. Welcome back to the Scoreboard Show. I'm Jay Gray, joined by Marco Coleman, 355-NFL-1. That's 355-6351. Taking your calls after the 45-17 loss. Let's go to Bobby on the south side, see what he thought of the game. Bobby, how you doing, man?
I'm good. How are y'all?
Good.
Yeah, I had a few comments, questions. One was, I don't understand why none of our defensive backs turned their heads around any time the ball went down the field. I don't know if that's lack of coaching or just the guys we get, but...
No, I think I honestly think it's all because they're rookies right now, and they're so worried about not getting beat and what their assignments are that they're forgetting that they got to turn around and look at the ball when it's coming. I mean, that's going to come with time. Once they're confident and they're covering the right guy, they're not getting beat, they can stick with him, then they're going to start putting everything else together, like putting your hand up, you know, turning around and seeing the ball. But, yeah, definitely that was a glaring issue this week.
It was real bad. And then another thing is our interior line. I don't understand why they just don't try out other people. Go get Gerberry back or Pastor or Astor, or, you know, those guys are just ain't getting the job done. I'd rather get some young guys in there and get time under their belt, so when we do get Teddy Bridgewater, he ain't getting killed with Rackley and Uche and all of them. So I'll just take your comments off there.
Thank you for the call.
Yeah, the offensive line, just what they got out physical today. That was for sure.
You can say they're getting better. They gave up a season low 3 sacks today.
Yeah, but they could not run the ball. I mean, they couldn't open up any holes. You know, today it was a physical mismatch. You saw that, you know, when they lined up guys right over
and you knew that was going to be their coming in the way they've been playing.
And you got a rookie out there. So you know, it's about what they can do offensively with the play calling that's going to help the offensive line right now. And with having Gabbert out there, they do more things offensive line. It's a lot more creative to take pressure off that offensive line, exposing that inability of them to just come and fire off and block. You know, right now that's something they're just not able to do.
355-NFL-1, that's 355-6351. Let's go to Tim. Tim, what's up tonight?
Hey, how you guys doing tonight?
Good, Tim.
All right, just a quick question. After 3 devastating losses like this, you're the head coach. How do you begin to motivate a young team like this, the fans, and your boss on how what you're doing is right and how that you're moving forward? I'm going to hang up and let you answer that.
Cool. All right, so let's just address these one by one. I'll play the coach first. First thing I'm telling my boss is, listen, man, I'm just dealing with the hands I was dealt. The reason you brought me in, the reason you brought in new GM is because it failed in the past, so I got to deal with what I got right in front of me. But don't worry, we're drafting better. Look at Cyprian. He's been playing pretty well. Our guys are going to get there. We're going to get some new draft picks. We're going to get some free agents. We'll be fine, don't worry. But this year, yeah, it's going to be a little bit rough. Now, for the players, I'm going to sit there and tell them, you play for the Jacksonville Jaguars. You're 0-3. You're not looking good. The entire national media says you're not any good. If you get cut from this team, you're never working in the NFL again.
So you got to, wow.
So that'll motivate you to play better because, you know, this may be your last stop.
Oh, man. Well, you know, ultimately, the team, the organization is rebuilding. And I think that is the primary focus. The coach understands that. He's relaying that with the general manager. The owner understands that. And by having such a young team, they understand it's all about the match getting better. He's going to take out what's positive and continue to work on what's negative. You got so many young guys, especially in that secondary, all those young guys. When you talk about the one guy with the not going for the ball, these guys are just doing what they're called. They're kind of like rookies are like robots right now. They haven't established enough savvy in order to make those plays that you see a veteran make where they turn around and the ball is coming. So you got a lot of youth. He understands that, and they knew going into the season there was going to have to be some patience. He's being patient, and he's a pretty even-keeled guy. I don't think that he even came into the game expecting to win. He's realistic, I'm sure. He knows what the roster is, even the general manager and the owner. But staying on task, recognizing this is not completely about just this season. It's about the next 2 to 3 years and how we continue to get better to get ourselves to become a championship type of team.
Yeah, you know, we talk a lot about the rookies, but one thing we're failing to mention is we are getting so many guys off the street, off the waiver wire, that have only been here for a week or two. You know, they take time to learn the system as well. Even if those guys are veterans, it's going to take them time to get in, get acclimated, and be around this team for more than a week or two and expect them to come in and play at a high level, especially after they were just cut from another team.
They're trying to establish who their guys are right now.
355-NFL-1, that's 355-6351. Let's go to Dave on the west side. Dave, how you doing tonight?
Hey, I'm doing real good. I just had a question. Miller that caught the 2 big passes for Seattle, he was with the Jaguars, right?
Zach Miller.
Yeah.
Was it that Zach Miller? I know there's a couple Zach Millers
in the league. Let me get him checked out
here.
That's
3 times more. And I thought that was a Zach Miller that played for the Jaguars a couple of years ago. And we traded him for something. I can't remember what the deal went on.
I think it is.
But like I said, you always sit there and you got to say, you know, these are the sins of the past. The reason those guys aren't around anymore is because of mistakes like that. Yeah. And mistakes in drafting.
Well, I just warned him because he could receive. And I never could understand how we got rid of it.
Yeah, we're breaking up, so we're going to have to let you go. But it's true. I mean, that's, you know, it's what we keep talking about. Brian's run off the list of first-round draft picks right at the end of the broadcast, and where they are now, they're either not with this team or really not playing well or injured. Yeah. I mean, you can't survive as a franchise and expect to compete when all your first-round picks of the past 10 years either aren't here or hurt.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing. When you got guys hurt and then you got guys that haven't performed well, that makes it tough. I don't think that is that's not the same Zach Miller. He was out at the Raiders before he got to the
different Zach Miller. But so even, I mean, case in point, you know, same deal. It's, you know, you get letting guys get let go, guys going to other teams, catching on, doing well. I mean, we were talking before we came on the air, Marco, who are the guys that the Jags let go that were having big games today?
You figured Daryl Smith, Greg Jones, these guys would have been able to help. You know, like I said, I always said that Daryl Jones was the best defensive player on the team. And they chose to keep Poslesny over.
Find a way to get both those guys on the field.
Yeah, I mean, I think that would have definitely made. I mean, the more veterans around these young guys, as I may mention earlier, the front seven has all the experience. You know, you figure they brought in Miller, he's an experienced guy. Marks, he's an experienced guy. You know, Mincy, he's got the experience. Hayes, Poslesny. So those seven have to make a big enough impact to compensate for the youth and inexperience that you have on that back end by doing things like Poslesny did, you know, being in the right place at the right time on the pick. But stopping these guys on the run, that's become the issue, the stopping the run. They haven't been able to stop the run in the past three games.
I mean, they held Marshawn Lynch to 69 yards.
He only played a half.
Yeah, but I mean, they've been doing okay.
When it mattered,
he was
bowling over them like
that. But I think that's the point we're trying to make is, you know, a lot of these guys are, you know, we're playing backups in the third and fourth quarter, so we're padding our stats, but on the same end, on the opposite side, they're padding their rushing stats because that's all they're going to do. They're going to wind the clock, so they're going to be running the ball every play.
Yeah, they are, but when the game matters, these guys are running the balls. I mean, you know, Marshawn Lynch is running. I mean, the linebackers aren't getting off tackles. The linemen on the other team are able to get to the second level because no one on the defensive line requires a double team. That front seven does need some work. They're not as stout. You know, great effort, really good effort, guys, but they have to be a little more stout.
355-NFL-1, that's 355-6351. Let's go to Marsha. Marsha, how you doing?
Hey, Mark. Hi, how are you?
Good.
Okay, I know this is your favorite subject, but I want to talk about Tim Tebow.
All right, what do you got to say?
Okay, what I have to say is when Caldwell came to town, his first press conference, he said there was no scenario where he could see Tebow coming to the Jags.
Yep.
Okay. How did he know that at that point?
Because he's the man in charge of bringing guys in and out, and if he doesn't want them to come, they're not coming. Doesn't matter what player. Doesn't matter if Tebow or anybody else.
Why doesn't he want him to come? If Tim Tebow had been given the opportunity that Gabbert has been given for the last 2 years, and now going on the third year, I think Tim Tebow would be producing.
Yeah, but I mean, he was given opportunities, not necessarily with the Jags, but he was given opportunities in Denver and the Jets. He was given an opportunity with the Patriots.
He wasn't given 2 years.
No, but that's the point.
He was brought in at the end to take him into the playoffs, and then they let him go. Then the Jets took him, and they didn't do nothing with him.
Yeah, but that says something, though, doesn't it? When the Jets have, like, four quarterbacks?
He has been given an opportunity.
Okay, I'm going to disagree. You know, nice.
Your time is up.
But it's true, you know. I mean, he has been given opportunities. Nobody wants to realize that. He's been at three different teams, and three different teams have all said, you know what, we don't think you're the future here. Whether he won a playoff game, whether he went to a team that had three god-awful quarterbacks and he still couldn't find the field, all the same thing. He's been given opportunities. He hasn't taken advantage. Now, whether that's because the media stuff that he brings with it, I don't know. But for whatever reason, people just don't want him around, including people in Jacksonville. You hear about that rally on Monday?
No, I didn't hear about that.
Exactly.
It was a rally.
A rally here at Everbank Field Monday. A group put it together. Maybe
40 people showed up. Maybe. And not all at the same time either.
That was for Tebow?
That was for to bring Tebow to Jacksonville. And so apparently the people in Jacksonville don't want him here either.
Nobody wants him. Like I said, I'm done with the Tebow talk.
Yeah.
Let's talk about people that are actually on teams and participating right now.
355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Taking your calls after we get back from the break. This is the Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back to the Scoreboard Show. I am Jay Gray, joined here with Marco Coleman. The injury report presented by Baptist Health System, changing healthcare for good. Had a couple guys out again, especially in that secondary, and it just proved to be too much to overcome. A lot of young guys playing that have been playing for the first time, and I bet that waiver wire are going to be pretty active again, especially depending on the length and severity of the issues that happened, especially the head injury. Because if that's concussion, you know that nowadays they're a lot more strict about what you can and can't do. So even if you're feeling good and feeling healthy, you might not be able to come back until the independent doctors clear you.
But it's probably, with Josh Evans, he was drafted not to sit on the bench, I'm sure. Getting him in there is a real good opportunity to speed up the process for him to become a better player.
355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Going to Darren on the south side. Darren, how you doing?
I'm doing all right, fellas. How y'all doing tonight?
Good, Darren.
Hey, man, I was just calling, and I really enjoy listening to you guys, man, and I just want to comment on my Jag. I like to consider myself a savvy Jag, Jaguar fan. I'm also an optimistic Jaguar fan, but I'm savvy because I had to become savvy because I didn't really quite understand why, we would say stuff like, preseason, you don't really need to worry about the first, second game, but I had to understand that because, just had to study it and figure out that it's not always as bad as it seemed. And after watching the game tonight, I actually seen a lot of positives. I understand that, we've kind of rebuilt, and we haven't really necessarily said that, but we've rebuilt and we start from scratch. And I've seen a lot of positives today. The offense, we went up against a team that is projected to possibly win the Super Bowl, definitely be a contender. So for us to play as we did, the defense looked, relatively good. What can you really expect from, a 2-0 team, a 2-14 team? I'm going to take it off the air with that.
Yeah, thanks for the call. And that's the thing, especially the way the offense was putting the defense in position, giving them basically half fields the entire first half of the game, or at least the entire first quarter. For the defense not giving up as many, they're going to give up points. You go give them half a yard or half a field to work with. You can't expect any defense to stop them that many times when they only have to go 20 yards to even get in field goal range.
And the offense is good as that. You figure to have four rookies in the secondary, that's going to be tough. And then you don't have all your offensive weapons, with, Mercedes and Blackman make a huge difference in what you're able to do offensively. And I would have to even say Blaine Gabbert, because it just allows the offensive coordinator to do more things schematically offensively. Not that he's that much of a better quarterback, but what he brings changes the way that the offensive plays are called. So, but those things, like you said, you got to feel, I don't want to say good, but at least have a positive outlook as to the future, not only for the longevity, but here and for the season. I think as the season goes on, barring no serious injuries, these young guys will keep on getting better, and you'll see more competitive games, because a lot of these teams, as especially towards the end of the season, are teams that, if they're better, they can beat those teams. They just got to be better. Just got to be better than what they are right now.
So if he's healthy, you're starting Blaine Gabbert next week?
Yeah, I'm going to have to. I think I will. Just because, like I said, you can just do more things. I know you're out there, Melvin, but yes, Henny is not the answer.
Let's talk to Melvin. Melvin is out there. Melvin, how you doing tonight?
I'm good. How you doing,
Jay? What's going on, Melvin?
Hey, Marco, how you doing? Hey, listen, man. We get our guys back. We get Blackman. We get, Marco, I said this before. Shannon's a good quarterback. He's developing. Nothing against Gabbert. I love him. But, Chad will get it done if he gets them guys back. We get Jones a little bit more healthier, and things open up for us. So fans, keep your head up, because I'm a diehard Jaguar fan. So just keep your head up. Y'all going to see great things happen, and you're going to see them real soon.
But Melvin, Henny, man, he was exposed again today. He can't move.
He had a great run for a first down.
I put the clock on. It took him all day to get 2 yards. And, you know, and the offensive coordinator.
Read option quarterback Chad Henne.
You know, he's limiting the offensive coordinator. He can't even open up his playbook because this guy's just so limited in his physical skill set. So, and I just say that Blaine is the complete answer, you know, but Henne is not it. And you talk about his development is 6 seasons for Henne. This is his 6th season. We're not talking about a first, second, even third year guy. Henne's been in the league for 6 years now.
Yeah. Well, I know how you feel. I know how you feel, Marco. But I think Henne, you know, he's developed much better. And he get his receivers back, Blackman, and you know, get Mercedes back. You know, and as things open up, because you know, if the offense can get their thing going, you know, we'll be okay. I think we'll do a little bit better this season than what people think we're going to do. So fans, keep your head up. You know, I'm. Stay a die Jaguar fan because that's what I am. I don't plan to go anywhere. So
yeah, thanks for the call, Melvin.
You know, my thing with Henne is that, like I said, he's a 6-year veteran. He's throwing to Cecil Shorts, 2nd year guy. You got Burton, I think a 2nd or 3rd year guy. Ace is a rookie. You don't. So who's going to take control of the offense? I mean, we're not talking Blaine is going to be into his 3rd year. Here's a guy that's in his 6th season. He's seen double what Blaine has seen, whether it's been on the side holding the clipboard or whatever the case may be. He's seen more. He's not taking control and leading this thing with the younger guys that he has. You know, whatever it's going to take for him, he's the one that's got all the experience. He's got to make that and spread that around to the rest of the guys so he can pick the rest of them up and play on a higher level. Granted, this is one of the better defenses and teams, one of the better secondaries in the league. But what better opportunity to show your prowess as a real veteran than to have a little bit better outing than a 45.4% quarterback rating against these guys?
Yeah, and I you know, see the play of him, and it looks like he's scared back there. And I don't know if that's because he's scared that his offensive line is going to block. But there were, you know, even the first series of the game when he came out of under center a little bit too quickly, it's like he knows he's going to get hit. So he's more concerned about getting hit than waiting to actually go in there and say, all right, I got to find my progressions. I got to see where my guys are open. Mm-hmm. I'm going to stand in and take the hit if that means giving me an extra second for Cecil Shorts to burn it down the field and get open.
You're showing his prowess as a veteran, you know, calling some stuff out.
355-NFL-1, 355-6351, 1 segment left on the Scoreboard Show, and we're going to get to your calls right after this on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back to the Scoreboard Show, brought to you by Crown Royal Maple Whiskey Started, Maple Finished. I think all Jags fans, Jaguars players, us could go for some Crown Royal right now after that 45-17 loss. Final segment here at the Scoreboard Show, 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Taking your calls, looking at Will in Arlington, seeing what he's up to tonight. How you doing, Will?
I'm good, buddy. How y'all doing?
Good.
Good. I'm just letting y'all know, I am just as angry as every other Jags fan out there. I've been diehard. I'm 23 years old. The Jacksonville Jaguars are all I've ever known. But everyone just needs to calm down. This is the biggest rebuild that we've had in the entire existence of the Jaguars. We have a completely new regime. You know, we have all the way from top to bottom, ownership, GM, head coach, and we've always had a piece left over from the previous regime. We've always had one of those people that has stayed over, whether it was Gene Smith, Jack Del Rio, you know, whoever it is, they've always stayed over, and they've obliterated this roster. They've obliterated everything there is, and everyone just needs to know that Rome wasn't built in a day.
Yep. I mean, great points there. Honestly, that's the issue. It's just, you know, fans are sick of hearing we're rebuilding, because every year it seems like we're rebuilding. But, yeah, like you said, great points that, you know, everybody, there was always something left over from the year before, and this is one of those first years, other than maybe the expansion year, that it's all new GM, new coach, basically a new owner. I mean, Sean's only in his 2nd year owning the team.
Right.
You know, whole new staff, whole new players, the turnover of the roster, and, you know, yeah.
New logo, new uniform, new helmet.
Exactly.
It's a new squad. It really is, and it's going to take some time to get to the point to where you, you know, a legitimate perennial contender for the playoffs and for championships, because that's what you want. You don't want to just have one season and you blow up, and then the next 3 you're no good. I mean, just go back and forth. You want to establish yourself as a team that each and every season you have a chance to get that Lombardi Trophy. That's what it's all about.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Seahawks, perfect example. It took them about 4 years. They thought they were down and out, and they were never going to win a championship. And look, they're best team in the NFL right now.
And are built to be that way for a while because now they have depth. They had, you know, they're young. Like I said, they're like the third youngest team in the league. Well, about the fifth or somewhere there. They're just as young as the Jags. And all they're going to do now is just continue to add on more and more pieces. So when you get to that point, that's what it's about. Now, you know, they can just get that first wave of folks out there that are stars and healthy. Then all of a sudden you start stacking, and that's how you build
just
your
Just take a couple good drafts, and they'll be ready to go, and they'll have a bunch of stars because they're going to have some early draft picks, you know, for the next couple
it's
years.
It's all about trying to build a dynasty, not necessarily win it all, knock it out the park with the first hit, you know. So that's what I think they're more concerned about.
Going back to the Metro PCS call-in line with Saqib calling in. It's his birthday. Happy birthday, Saqib.
It's your birthday. Go, Saqib.
It's my birthday tomorrow, and, you know, I wish we would have had a little – better performance, of course, but the thing is, let me just say this, man. You know, even though I'm disappointed that we are 0-3 right now, I'm extremely disappointed we are 0-3 because I gotta go to work and get made fun of every week. But the thing is, let me just say this to all the Jags fans out there: please, I am begging you, when we play Indianapolis this week, please show up. Please do not just give out your tickets to somebody else or whatever. Just show up to the game this week. We will support this team. We trust Shaq Khan. We trust all the guys that we have. Just, I'm begging you, please show up to the game this week, and let's see what happens this year. Let's give these guys a year or two to see what they can do for us. And, you know, I wish we would win a couple of games this year, but, you know, it is what it is, and let's just support this franchise and see how it goes. And I do believe Shaq Khan and all the guys are going to get it together.
That's what's up, Saqib.
I mean, and that's a great point because there's only 31 cities in this country that have NFL franchises, and I guarantee there are places out there where, like, man, I don't care if we lost every game. I would just love to have a professional sports team that I can go see every week. And, you know, it's great comments from Saqib.
Yeah.
Got to get out of here soon.
That was good by Saqib. I agree, man. I mean, everyone come out, continue to support the team that is major. I mean, it's doing a lot for the city of Jacksonville, those guys, and they're charitable, you know, giving back. I mean, it's a big deal. So come, bring support, like Saqib said, and you know, just hold tight, man. You're gonna have some birthdays after these Jaguars pretty soon, and you're gonna be making a lot of fun of some other people at work, Saqib, I'm sure, as long as they continue to stay the course. The general manager and the head coach, that's what you have to do. Trust that they have a vision as to where they want this team to go, and they're just getting started to get the team to that point.
That's the thing. I mean, it could be a lot worse. I mean, I know it looks bad right now, but I mean, you could be Pittsburgh right now. Everybody thought they were going to be good. They're 0-2 and getting destroyed in the first half tonight.
Just think about when you first learned how to ride your bike, man, how ugly it was, man, just falling off that thing. It is right now.
I jumped on a bike when I was like 3 years old, and I never fell once. I'm just that skilled.
Oh, baby.
No. But that's the – I mean, you could be in New York right now. Again, another team everybody thought was going to be good this year. They're 0-3. They just lost 38-0, worst loss in Coughlin's history.
Yeah.
I mean, no one expected the Jags to be good this year, including the fans. We knew it was rebuilding. We knew what we were in for. But you know what? It's going to get better.
As long as they get better.
You got first-round picks. You got a staple at, you know, a tackle this year. You think he's going to be around for a long time. Maybe next year you get that quarterback or that pass rusher in with the top two picks. Mm-hmm. It's all gonna come together.
I think so. Just, I mean, even in the latter part of the season, they'll be better.
That's the thing, you know. Rome wasn't built in a day. No team is built overnight. Well, maybe there's a couple here, but you know. Thanks for everybody for listening to the Scoreboard Show. Marco, you're still not on Twitter, are you?
You know what? I've got a Twitter account today.
It's, yeah, what is it?
It's what is it? Had whatever the MDC Live at. Whatever, at MDC Live. That's me.
Find me, Jay Gray. Jay Gray underscore WOKV. I'll tweet out Marco's tonight. Thanks for listening. Back again next week on the Scoreboard Show here on Jaguars Radio.